the intro.
Hello. Hello. And welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I'm your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. Chronic frustrations and stress and chronic stress when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired because you can't stand it. Now, this book is written for both clinicians and those aficionados, nay, connoisseurs of human stress. More specifically, the mental stressors and biological stress that arise from frustrating stimuli. Even more specifically, in the context of chronic stress, where your body is constantly feeling and looking beat down. Probably the easiest way to describe it. Now, in many cases, this translates into a kind of monopolar versus bipolar disposition. Fancy graph here, science graphs. Times where a person feels like even though they're trying their best, they still kind of swing between meh and bleh. Meh and bleh, technical terms, okay? Where a person seems to undulate between bad and neutral, hardly ever going into the good territory. This is more indicative of chronic and harmful biological distress. Instead of going between meh and woo, okay? Instead of going between meh and woo, seldom going into the bad territory, where the stress is more helpful and adaptive biological use stress. However, it pays to know just what the heck stress really means, just like how we spent quite a bit of time determining what frustration means and the implications when used in that way. The term stress, at least in the biological sense, came around as recent as the 1920s, credited to Hans Selye, scientist and physician. He was nominated for the Nobel Prize in Medicine and Physiology, mind-boggling, 17 times, and is considered the pioneer of what is now known as endocrinology. Maybe you've heard of it, okay? And as legend has it, he took notice that people who are sick or sickly, aside from whatever primary condition they were dealing with, all seem to have the same sort of major constellation of symptoms. In other words, you can tell in other people and you can tell in yourself when you are sick, even though the type of sick may be a mystery to you. Stress is the reason why. In 1956, Dr. Selye wrote about it and essentially just called it the sickness syndrome, as in there are a million and one different ways to get sick and be sick, but the body seems to respond to it in just about the same way most every time. This is where the correction of popular bastardizations of stress as a term becomes important. People use the word stress as if it's a cause rather than an effect. Things like that is stressful, or that was stressful, or this stressed me out, or that looks like it's stressful, as in the thing made them stress, or could be filled with stress. Can another thing be filled with stress? No! No! The closest things are bodily harm, and literally eating hormones that signal the body to go into a state of stress, okay? Which people do regularly. This discussion is more about chronic and recurring stress. Those things are discrete stressors, okay? The things we listed above are discrete stressors. However, if they cause stress responses much beyond the initial event, then they fall into the current discussion because they are prolonged by virtue of cognitive appraisal and affective integration. Fancy words for a person keeps reminding themselves of how stressful that thing was and then work themselves up into reliving that same stress while putting the responsibility on the original event, which has long passed, okay? This means that a person can, however, do a thing or experience a thing interpreted as threatening to their person, and then leverage that as permission to stress their bodies out biologically by virtue of using the processing power in that giant brain of theirs to communicate those messages to the rest of their body. Sound familiar? Just as you can interpret something as an obstruction to your operations, to your emotions, to your achievements, and to your sense of fairness, also known as a frustrating stimulus, you too can interpret something as a threat to your person, or a stressor. Okay? Oftentimes by leveraging the frustration and turning it into a stressor. This is the biological aspect of double trouble. A human can frustrate themselves about a frustration and get themselves into double trouble, upgrading what is likely a practical problem into an emotional disturbance. It is this emotional disturbance a person then interprets as a threat to their person. And This emotional disturbance now, when interpreted correctly, turns into a stressor, which then communicates a neurological and hormone changes within the body, yielding a biological stress response. This is what I mean when I talk about the mnemonic of STFU. Okay? Stimulus, thinking, feeling, and urging. That when a person is stimulated, that thinkings and feelings and urgings, they interact with each other. They all interact with each other in a cyclical manner on account of the stimulus. There's a lot going on in the space between stimulus and response, especially because there are often two types of responses to deal with. Where there's the cognitive, emotive, behavioral response, the thinking, feeling, urging, and then acting on those urges, the behavioral response, indicated as R in the SRO cycle here, R. And then the cyclical interactions between the thinking, feeling, and urging, okay, there's the chance of cultivating a biological output, a biological response, as well as a behavioral response. Now, that happens before the behavioral response a lot of times, and the behavioral response can also cut, you know, it gets crazy, okay? That's kind of the point. So the biological output is the stress response, which in the context of chronic stress is almost entirely thinking and feeling, okay? Just entirely thinking and feeling, and can most definitely contribute to a person's urgency and impulsivity. Okay, especially when a person has latent biological stress in the background, contributing to what is a new frustration they are dealing with currently. Okay, hopefully that makes sense. It does have an impact. It does have that sort of impact. So the stress response can then heighten the emotional disturbance, which then heightens the biological stress response, and so on and so forth. Okay, the obvious example of a phenomenon like this is the so-called panic attack. This means in the context of chronic stress that a biological stress response, which is essentially interpreting an emotional disturbance as threatening to your person, drives impulsivity. Duh. If your body goes into high alert, then your urgency will skyrocket into the next dimension, making it harder to do smart stuff and easier to do dumb stuff. The moral is that stress is actually the way the body responds broadly and generically to any demand placed on it, even if it's a psychogenic demand. And here's where things get spicy. Again, that demand can be biogenic, outside in, and the demand can be psychogenic, inside out. Depending on how you look at it, it can and often is both. Many people get themselves into double trouble by working themselves up psychologically about something that happened or is happening or might happen. The classic example is a panic attack where a person may feel their heart rate rise for any reason, and then they leverage that as permission to work themselves up into an even greater heart rate until they succumb to overwhelming panic. This is literally a person taking a modest stress event or taking a non-stress event, interpreting it as a modest stress event, and then taking that modest stress event and turning it into a large stress event. And the greater the stress is, the smaller that space between stimulus and response becomes. However, the impulse for an anxious person is more flight than fight, so they have an overwhelming urge to avoid rather than confront, which makes their behavioral response align with that urge to do something that feels better to prevent, hide, or distract, seeking safety, etc. In other words, people that work themselves up about practically anything are less likely to do smart stuff and more likely to do dumb stuff. This is some of the biology behind that. Frustration, an isolated event, happens on account of a frustrating stimulus. Wherein you interpret in your mind a discrete event as an obstruction to any or all of your four domains, operations, emotions, achievement, and fairness, which often leads to a behavioral response of some sort, which then results in an outcome. Oh. All right. In the context of this book, stress is a biological response rather than a behavioral response. The stress, a biological state, happens on account of a stressing stimulus, a stressor, wherein you interpret a discrete event as a threat to your safety, threat to your person, thus leading to a stress response. In the case of chronic stress, it's most often when a person gets themselves into double trouble, where they use likely a practical frustrating stimulus, S, and in the space between stimulus and response, that thinking, feeling, and urging, they upgrade it into an emotional disturbance. And this emotional disturbance acts like a big domino, knocking down all the small dominoes, leading to a biological stress response, a biological state, a bodily response to the emotional disturbance, rather than a behavioral response to the frustrating stimulus. Okay, so that's happening in between the space, between stimulus and response. Indeed, stress bodily stress, physiological state has a big impact on behavioral responses. Okay. The important thing to note, however, is that stress is something that happens in the body, physically. To that end, where many people think stress is a cause, that is wrong, especially in the state of chronic stress. Chronic stress is actually the effect, a physiological effect stemming from emotional disturbance arising from double trouble. A person upgrades a frustrating stimulus into an emotional disturbance and then interpret that emotional disturbance as a threat to their safety over and over and over and over. That's all she wrote today. Thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Kashi? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Kashi is out.